Good afternoon and welcome to The Source. David Martin Davies is off today. I'm Ryan Lloyd, and we are talking about a problem that no one can seem to permanently erase, graffiti. Taggers, the people who paint the graffiti, keep coming back time after time, requiring more volunteers and more city resources to erase it. We want to know, are you at your wit's end with graffiti? Has it happened to you personally, or your neighbor, or a business? Do you see it a lot? Give us a call at 614-8980 or email us at thesource@tpr.org or send us a tweet at @tprsource. Michael Shannon, Assistant Director of the City's Development Services, is here to talk about abatement efforts from the city. Deputy Chief Janae Flores with the Police Department joins us to talk about the enforcement of the laws. And John Carlos is here, a citizen who got fed up with taggers, and so he set up a slew of security cameras, caught the perpetrator on camera, and that led to an arrest. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Well, John, let's start with you. I want to know, would you call what you did taking the law into your own hands?
No, actually, what I would consider it is just a business owner that was fed up with the vandalism and the cost that it was that we were incurring. I would say almost monthly, cleaning up the tagging, dealing with the other petty vandalism that was going on in relation to it.
And so was your business that you set all the cameras up at.
Yes.
And so how many cameras did you have?
There's actually 8 cameras on the video system, but there's actually 3 game cameras that the picture that actually was used to catch this individual was actually off a game camera.
You know, you've been pretty open about this, and so I was curious as to know, why are you open about this? I guess you want to let the more people that know about that, the better.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I've been real open about it. In fact, our neighborhood has a Facebook page, is very active. I've posted stuff up on there, let people know, keep your heads up, as opposed to the other approach, which is to kind of look the other way and stick your head in the proverbial sand. I and a group of us within our neighborhood association believe that you take a proactive stance. This kind of crime is a crime of opportunity, and they count on you being a little bit intimidated and fearful. And as a citizenry, I take the approach that we just need to be proactive with it.
And so, I guess you took this stance yourself. You just got fed up. You're tired of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
How much had it happened to you before, and how much did it cost you?
It isn't that it's a daily or weekly thing. I would say it's maybe on a monthly basis. I guess my particular business is in a little bit more of a high profile area. I'm right off the railroad tracks, and as such, it's pretty opportune for them to walk the tracks and. I got a big back wall in the building.
Okay, we have a caller on the line now who has a problem in his neighborhood, so we want to check out that. CR, you're on the air. Talk to us about what's going on with you.
Speaking, my name is CR Noel. I'm the president of Park Village Neighborhood Association, and we've had an ongoing problem for years. We've discovered through working with the city that if you would go and cover the graffiti tagging as soon as possible, the only disadvantage is having enough volunteers that are willing to do this. We took it one step further, and we were trying to get the fathers and grandfathers to get their kids involved. Anytime we cover graffiti tagging, we make sure that adults are there, they're present. But the main thing is getting it covered immediately, if not sooner. As soon as it's tagged, you cover it. And it seems as though it really helps in our neighborhood because the tagging either slows way down or ceases to exist altogether.
All right. CR, thank you for your comment. We appreciate it. That brings us to Michael Shannon. Michael, you're with the city. And so talking about volunteers, are there ever enough volunteers?
Well, no, there's really never enough volunteers. But we're fortunate in San Antonio to have quite a few volunteers, and we spend a lot of our time really trying to get as many volunteers as we can. This year, for example, we're estimating about 2,600 volunteers that are helping us just specifically with our own graffiti abatement services. And that's through events like our graffiti wipeout events. We have them all throughout the year on weekends, and then we have one large one in September. But we're always asking anyone else who can come out and volunteer, whether they do it through us with the city's help or through their neighborhood, whether it be an association or just a group of neighbors getting out there and clean it up themselves. And like the last caller said, the best way to combat graffiti is to get it off there quickly.
That's right. That's the message.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So whether we're called out to do it, and we can talk about how to report graffiti so the city's resources can go out to do it, you want to do it quickly, within 2 to 3 days. And that's the best prevention tool that we have.
All right. 614-8980 is the number to call. Deputy Chief Florence from SAPD, you know, from a law enforcement perspective, is it difficult to catch these taggers?
Oh, very much so, because, I mean, everyone knows they go out and do it when nobody's watching, or they try to do it when no one's watching, which is why he needed the video cameras to make it work for him. But we have a lot of officers out there working on it. We do have some strategies such as graffiti stings, where we set up on places where we know graffiti happens and try to catch them in the act. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But, yeah, it's a big issue, and it's difficult to catch in the act.
So what has to happen in order to make an arrest? I mean, we have, with John's case, he had security cameras. A lot of people don't have that. So what can people do?
Right. Well, the first thing is we need them to report it. A lot of people, it happens so much that they just, and maybe like John, they just get so tired that they just don't even report it anymore. Maybe they just paint over it and move on. But we need to have it reported to the police. If anybody witnesses anything, we definitely need to know that. Whatever information they can provide, we need witnesses for prosecution. Taking pictures or any evidence that they can provide, what we don't want them to do is go out and challenge the person. Just call the police, report it to us, and provide us the best information that you can is what the citizens can do for us.
You know, I know Police Chief William McManus has called this a crime of opportunity, so that's the randomness of it. You just don't know where it's going to happen.
Right.
There's no way to tell when or where that will happen. So, I mean, and police officers can't be everywhere.
I agree.
So do you find it where, you know, it's just a problem that's just populating too much and we'll never catch up to it?
Well, I mean, it is plaguing the city, and there's so many taggers that even if we knew who some of them are, and we can try to do some things to follow the person, to focus on the person who's doing the tagging, but there's so many of them, and it happens so many places around the city that, as you say, we can't be everywhere, and we don't have enough officers to cover every tagger that we know of. So we try to work with cameras and collecting evidence and doing some of the things that strategies that we use.
And I know the city hasn't really updated the graffiti ordinance since 2010, is that correct?
That's
Michael.
Correct.
Okay, so, you know, I guess the city council right now, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, they are pushing for increased efforts, increased enforcement.
Correct. And, you know, one of the things that we're looking at just next month is to bring forward an ordinance to city council. And it really just adds a little more teeth to the ordinance. We're seeing some graffiti being done on property with not just spray paint or regular markers, but we're seeing stickers being used to deface property. And so we're going to try to add that as a graffiti implement that we can use to charge people and use as, hey, you can't put stickers on them. But we're also trying to increase as many people as we have out there on the street, actually abating the graffiti, painting over the graffiti. So internally with our department, we're moving some resources around to get more people out on the street to paint the graffiti.
Okay, we'll talk more about the proactive steps that can be taken. We do have to take a quick break. If you have a story to share about graffiti, we ask you to call us up at 614-8980 or send us an email at thesource@tpr.org. We will be right back, and we'll tackle this issue some more.
I think we've all talked and touched about how we can, whether we're reactive, whether we're addressing it on the abatement side, or we're increasing penalties. I wanted to look at it from a more prevention standpoint to see what we could do to get back to the basics approach, going back, talking to kids in school, working with business owners and leaders on how we can get deterrence in place to prevent graffiti. We all know that it takes an extreme amount of manpower, an extreme amount of money to continue to abate. I wanted to see that we could start addressing some of the root symptoms on graffiti. So that's why we proposed this comprehensive anti-graffiti plan for the city.
That is District 7 Councilman Chris Medina, who told people earlier this year at a State of the District address about his own frustrations with graffiti and how he's asking the city council to increase the city's ordinances on graffiti. So Michael Shannon from the city's Department of Development Services, I want to ask you, what did you think about his comments there?
Well, I think the councilman is correct. You know, we're looking for anything and everything possible to be more effective with our fight against the graffiti problem that we have. And, you know, we as a city supported a bill that was in the state legislature this year that was going to, you know, increase the penalties for graffiti offenders. Unfortunately, it didn't get through the legislature this year. So
it was going to go from a Class B to a Class A misdemeanor.
Correct. Yeah. And so it was just going to become a little bit more teeth to that law. But unfortunately, like I said, it didn't pass. We'll continue to monitor that through the next legislative session and see if maybe we can support that again.
All right. We do have Councilman Ray Saldana on the phone, and Councilman Saldana has been definitely proactive as well with the City Council. So, Councilman Saldana, welcome to the program.
Ryan, thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you for calling. And I know that in your area, the southwest side of town, you're going to have actually an event in a couple of weeks on a Saturday. Tell us about that. And what are you doing to tackle graffiti?
Sure. Well, I'll say I think Councilman Medina has got a great point at trying to get to the root and start early. So what we're trying to do, and we're trying to make some fun out of it, we're calling it a flash mob of graffiti takedown. And so we've got 150 to 200 young volunteers. We really wanted to target young people in middle schools, in high schools. And so we have 150 people who actually, will go through the act of having to wake up on Saturday morning, go in and actually clean 150, 200 different spots that we've identified throughout the district. And for one whole day, District 4 will have absolutely no graffiti. But I think what's important is that the takeaway for the young students will be that, I worked on that one corner or that one dumpster, and when they go back and see that perhaps it's been hit again, I hope that they'll take ownership or at least know what that feels like. I think that's trying to really get at the root and also getting young people involved.
And I know that something that's cool is that when people go onto the city's website, they can look at the green dots of where graffiti is happening or where it has happened, and they can sign up to volunteer and go out there on that Saturday, the 27th.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's the idea of taking ownership of your own neighborhood and understanding that, when somebody is defacing a corner of a business that's in your neighborhood, that's part of your own community, and we should care about it. We shouldn't drive by it, and we should take it down as soon as possible. I think the best prevention is to take it down as soon as it goes up.
Councilman Saldana, thank you very much. Hope you get a good response for your flash mob on the 27th. Let's go to Richard. He's a business owner. He hasn't had graffiti in 5 years. Richard, tell us how you haven't had graffiti in 5 years.
Yes, graffiti is a nasty deterrent to business owners. It gives a bad impression to your clients. I have an environmental lab over on 35 and Laredo Street. We get a lot of transients to come by and want to put their name on our wall. So I had a big mural of space planets painted on the wall by some volunteers, and they just have, and since then, I haven't had so much as a tag.
That's interesting.
I think they respect it.
Yeah. I said that's interesting because I was actually talking to Police Chief William McManus about that. He said, and maybe Deputy Chief Lawrence can talk to this, but sometimes when you do things like that, you put something that looks nice, you paint something, taggers just respect it.
Yeah, they do, and that's part of the neighborhood ownership as well. Recently, we had some tagging over on the west side, and some of the neighbors went after the tagger, not violently, but let him know that they were offended by it because he tagged something that was a piece of beauty, a piece of art in their neighborhood.
All right. And John, what do you think about that? I mean, have you thought about painting, putting some kind of mural up around your business?
Yeah, I've thought about that.
Okay.
It isn't really appropriate for my particular situation, but I'm wholeheartedly behind the mural. The mural approach, I think that's a great thing.
And let's go back to Michael for a minute with the city's development services department. Some ideas that were tossed around, a mural program, reaching out to the youth. I know San Anto is a mural program. Could there be other efforts or other ways to get to that route that we were talking about with Chris Medina?
Well, I think so. And I just want to add that there is, the city has a mural program that we allow. And if you're interested, the city has resources and can offer up to $500 in paint by contacting our department. And that therefore, you would get that that paint, those supplies. You pick out the paint, and then you put it on those areas that are important to you to do exactly what we were just talking, to get some pride.
All right.
Into deterrence.
Okay. We do have another caller on the line. Blake wants to know if there are any programs that embrace graffiti instead. I guess kind of encouraging is what they kind of want to know. Blake, welcome to the program.
Yes, thanks for having me. My question was if there were any programs that had ever been done in San Antonio or on a national scale that allowed graffiti artists or taggers or whatever to go to a designated area, similar in the mural concept, where sometimes you look at what these guys are doing and you're like, man, I can't believe they did that, but the guy's pretty artistic.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you do look at it as art. I mean, they're pretty good.
Well, yeah, and again, I'm not a proponent of defacing property by any means, but giving these kids, a place to do it, a place to, instead of vandalizing, turn into art, something of that sort. I mean, the comments about covering it up as soon as it happens, I know when I was 17 or 18, it would have just gotten me more excited to come back and do it again.
Right. Okay. Well, Blake, thank you for your call. Michael, do you want to take that one?
Sure. And he's right. There is some efforts both nationally, and we've even dealt with that locally, where if you give some areas where they can come, and some of them that they just want to get out there and paint something and show their talent. Others, though, that we face, they just like to break the law as well. So, it's a balance. It's something that we've considered and is going to be part of, moving forward with our program that Councilman Medina talked about.
I mean, one question I have is, I don't know if anyone here can answer it. Is there a part of town that's more prevalent with graffiti? Is there a place? Are we seeing it in the inner city? Are we seeing it on the east or west sides, on the north? Which side of towns are we seeing this on?
Well, we see it everywhere. So it's not just one area of town, one council district, or anything like that. It is real focused, though, on the inner city. There's much more of it in the inner city than there is on the outskirts. But it isn't just one place. We do monitor almost 40 spots, 40 corridors throughout the city, and they're all scattered about, proactively monitoring those and go up and down and paint off the graffiti quickly, as well as respond to reactive calls and complaints about it.
And Deputy Chief Florence from SAPD, what happens to a person once they have been caught?
Well, once they have been caught, of course, we're going to file criminal charges, and they're going to go through the process. They have the chance for arraignment. They have a chance to go to court and plead guilty or not and go through the court process. Usually they'll end up on probation. And hopefully part of that probation may be having to paint over some graffiti. Maybe that would help.
Maybe if they got out there themselves and helped volunteer, go against the actual thing that they were caught for,
exactly. They'll
stop. Has that worked in the past, or do you have any case evidence about that?
I don't have a case that I can name, but I know that that's been part of some probation that we've done in the past.
Okay. John, and I was going to ask you, you would suggest to other people, if they're having a problem, go ahead and take these steps that you did, put up the cameras.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, I might just mention one other step that we've taken that's been real effective, actually, in shutting down one particular tagging crew that's our indigenous crew, is Facebook. These vandals love to put their name out there on their own Facebook pages. They're really not trying to hide. Hmm. They might be hiding from us older folks who aren't so Facebook savvy, but they're not really trying to hide.
Okay.
That's pretty easy to chase them down.
We have Rick on the line, and Rick is a teacher at an inner city school. He says lots of his kids tag. And so, Rick, what is your experience with the graffiti problem, and are these, what are these kids trying to do?
This is from my experience. I've only been teaching for a year, but I was surprised at how many of my kids do that. They tag, and a lot of them aren't necessarily gang-related or affiliated. Some might be, but a lot of them are just artistic, and they have a name. There's a whole culture behind it, and I understand that if it's vandalizing businesses, that's no good for any community. But at the same time, these kids are surrounded with a culture that does embrace tagging and graffiti, and while we weed that culture out, and if you do lift that kind of violation to a class, say misdemeanor, what's going to happen with my students, who many of them have POs? I have more than 15 students that have POs, and a lot of them have to do with tagging and truancy. Now, while you weed out that culture, what's going to be about the effect of the students that I currently have that still behave in this manner? You could suggest all you want, but how do you ultimately really end that type of behavior? And if you do, what's going to happen with these kids that can't? How's their lives going to turn out being involved with the law that much?
Right. I mean, and are you saying, do you think that it'll be a kind of a gateway, or is that the entrance of their activities, or is that what you're saying, Rick?
Well, no. I'm just thinking, like, even a freshman student having a parole officer is strange of it itself, but it happens a lot. And a lot of the reasons have to do with this tagging issue. Now, if you make that crime even harsher, will it really deter the behavior? It's still a misdemeanor. And also, what's the kind of life that these students have, having law enforcement involved in their education as well? It's just very unusual to be a part of 14, 15-year-old kids that have records. But again, if you make it even harsher, I'm curious to see what type of effect is that kind of legislation going to have?
Yeah, that's a great question, Rick. And let me ask Deputy Chief Lawrence from SAPD, do the penalties distinguish between gang tagging and non-gang, or are they all the same?
No, it's all the same.
It's all the same. So, you know, as Rick was saying, that's a good point. I mean, if they start out, you know, I guess, tagging, you know, what kind of course are they going to take if they're caught just for tagging? You know, what will that lead to, basically?
Like, right. Well, whether it's a Class B or a Class A, I think we've all established that just focusing on the law enforcement aspect is not going to solve the problem. One of the callers said, how about offering somewhere else for them to paint? How about reaching out to younger people like the councilman's going to do? Those are the kind of strategies that the city is working on constantly, trying to come up with alternatives to just getting them into that criminal justice system. And that's where we need to reach out to the public and get some ideas and some buy-in from the public as well to work together as a team and come up with some other strategies other than the criminal justice aspect of it.
And just a one-sentence closer, John, do you think that this problem will ever get better?
Yeah, I think that there's a number of approaches that'll cause it to get better. I would just like to quickly interject that I think the parental or guardian aspect of enhancing the law needs to be addressed as well.
Okay, and Deputy Chief Lawrence?
I would just ask that we have a partnership with the public.
All right, and Michael Shannon?
About the same.
All right.
So, thank you.
Well, thank you guys for joining us. The City Council is continuing to look at a comprehensive anti-graffiti ordinance, and volunteers are needed all the time. If you'd like to help out, you can contact Code Enforcement at 207-5421. We will be right back to talk about how two grants that no other city in the nation can claim they have working at the same time, the Choice and Promise Neighborhood Grants, is working in San Antonio. That's next on The Source.